Hey, this is Chris Ploschen, writer, producer of Voorhees, and you are listening to The Movie Raid.
It's time for The Movie Raid, and tonight's victim is writer, producer Chris Ploschen, has done Voorhees amongst others. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Fantastic, man. So is this your main baby at the moment? Do you have other projects that you also want to give us a little insight as well?
Concept for kind of a futuristic style show about gaming kids, comedy short, a series of shorts about a major league bullpen, 3 to 4 minute bits that we want to try to do as a series. And I've got another script for an original horror, kind of horror suspense film that I've been developing, but that's still in the early stages. Mainly the big news for us and the exciting thing is the Voorhees is finally coming out on this Halloween. The film is directed by Cody Falk. Cody and I co-wrote it. Over the course of many months, we finally settled on the story that we wanted. Pretty big cast, I think. About 14, 15 people in the cast. Many of them are from where we live. We're in the Washington, D.C. area. We did have one actress who was going back and forth from New York to D.C., was kind enough to continue to film with us and come back on our trips. The cast really put a lot of their effort into this, a lot of their time. Some have acted more than others, but these are people with jobs, families, classes, other things in their lives, and they were gracious enough to come out with us, and really they gave it their all. So I can't say enough about the people that worked, so you'll see in front of the camera.
Now, having been involved with this film, risk is always there, but how much can you really invest without actually losing some of the viewership as well, them investing it as well on their part?
We did crowdfunding. What we wanted to do, we used Kickstarter, we used Indiegogo, and we had to describe the vision that we wanted, and we decided early on that the tone of this movie was going to be dark. The atmosphere was going to be dark. The mood was going to be dark. This wasn't going to be a typical summer camp film. We wanted something different. So the atmosphere was the first thing we focused on, and we decided that the characters, we wanted to develop unique characters. We didn't want to just have the tropes. We didn't want to just have the preppy and the jock and, you know, you name it, you've seen throughout the films that are just tropes that can end up as cannon fodder for Jason so we can pack them in butcher paper. And we wanted them to have motivation, and we wanted them all to have kind of a moment in the sun where you would understand what their characters are doing. Characters are supposed to be relatable. You would not necessarily want to hang around with these characters because these characters fit the tone of the movie too. They are dark. This is a story about bad people that end up in a place where they meet pure evil. And that was sort of our pitch to the Kickstarter, Indiegogo social, the crowdfunding campaigns. It seemed to work. People seemed to be very, very positive to it. We got a lot of support on social media. We were able to raise some money. Basically, what we had, we used as much as we could to get exact what was possible. That was basically what we were going to do, whatever's possible with the funding we have.
And of course, as far as time-wise, it can be a challenge on their own trying to get the audience invest their time into watching this film without actually having to lose any of these balances between the characterization as well. Because when you have these characters and you're trying to present them in a non-traditional way, it can be a distraction, it can be a risk sometimes, because it's one of those things that you just have to let flow.
Of course. And I think with that in mind, that the story became very important to us. We wanted a story to run through this that we thought would be different, but would also be entertaining, that would be true, you know, to the franchise in terms of what fans would enjoy and would expect and would want. There's certain boxes that we wanted to make sure we checked to honor the fans, honor the franchises. You know, in our minds, doing that allows us to try to make our own different mark, a unique mark, maybe a little bit of a different take on this world of what is Crystal Lake with these different characters. It's certainly a risk. I think people responded to it. They liked the idea that here are bad people, the majority of which are bad people, that live in a world of violence and that have come to this place and they have no idea what they're going to meet, and that is pure evil. I know that Cody, the director, worked tirelessly to achieve visual presentation of Jason that was true to what we wanted, which was a physical, ruthless, heartless beast, basically, of pure evil. The care of the shots, the shot making, whenever Jason was on set, we took more takes of him than any other time in the movie, for good reason. Different angles. I'm sure he knew that we weren't going to use, but he was going to take them, because that was really the most important thing, is how is he visually presented? How are people going to see him? And you can't sell that short, but people will realize that. Fans will cut through that. That was absolutely a priority. And kudos to Cody for really stressing that every single time we were filming Jason.
Was that more of a challenge trying to get the persona a little bit of a different tone for Jason himself? Or did you decide not to really touch upon the persona of Jason in this particular film to where he can still stand out but still be brutal and still have a different look without really going too deep on the surface?
Well, you know, honestly, I think part of it was our actor kind of developed his own persona in terms of the way he moved, the way he sort of brought a sense of dread. This was his first time, obviously, dressing up in this sort of costume. He worked hard at his craft. I mean, he's a big guy. He's an athlete. And he might tell you different, but I think he really relished putting that outfit on and putting that mask on, because it's kind of a Clark Kent Superman thing, you know. Our guy's he's soft-spoken, he's very intelligent, and when he put the gear on and he started to really study how to move and how to do a lot, obviously he can't say anything, but with his expressions, with his movements, and with his physicality, he really took on the persona himself.
Now, would you say it's kind of like a fine definitive way between image and exposure between the two?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, image-wise, to do more and more things, you know, he was able to expand, you know, what he was able to do. We have him throwing things. We have him obviously chasing people, but, you know, at his own pace. Times you'll see him, he's standing with a powerful image still, and at other times he's moving very quickly, very violently. Again, I give a lot of credit to our actor for taking this on, and to Cody for giving him the kind of directions, I think, that really helped him take on the persona.
Now, would that also add the actual challenge to placing Jason at a more kind of a rough patch of land, even though this is his land, but would you say there's still something new about it, that having to be in a familiar territory but having to express a different outlook for it? Would you say this is more of the challenge toward the viewers for the story, as well as the characters that are proceeding that have never even seen Jason? Do you think that was more of the issue, or more mainly the focal point that can actually benefit this film?
Where we filmed the Voorhees, I'd say 90% of the movie is outdoors, which was hard because everyone is exposed to these elements. What was filmed indoors was done in abandoned buildings. We were fortunate enough to have a lot of acreage that we had access to, a way that we could kind of present our vision of what Camp Crystal Lake was. It's been abandoned for years. It's beat up. It's overgrown with weeds. No one has gone here for a long time. And that's why it's desirable for our criminals. If the viewers are familiar with who Jason is and what goes on here, I think we represent the camp pretty well. If you're not familiar with it, I think you're going to find we have a number of very creepy places that we were able to film in that have a lot of character and are going to add a lot to this kind of dark mood that we're going for.
Now, would you say there's a specific timeline where this particular film takes place, or would you say this is just a whole new different chapter in a different plane, but, you know, at some point we'll meet up in a way, or is this just a completely different universe where it's a familiar territory, familiar characters, but at the wrong time for these characters?
That's a good question, and I think if you talk to Cody, you might get a different answer. I think he's got a theory on where it falls in the lexicon of the episodes and the years. In my opinion, it's always been present day. Started filming in 2018. There's technology that is available among the characters in this film that obviously wasn't available in the 80s. All those things kind of go out the window once these characters get to the camp, once they get to Crystal Lake, because you're kind of going back into this other world. Because present day people almost going back in time to another place, a more primitive place.
Now, would you say this film actually provides a different significance outside the franchise, but give a little bit of a different perspective view for their significance that they can define themselves by just looking at this film away from the franchise itself?
We wanted to create a story that we thought could be a part of the franchise. All the movies that they've done, they've covered, whether it's camp, whether it's a return to camp, whether it's going to Manhattan. We wanted to develop something that we thought could fit in there. And in our minds, this is basically a heist movie. We have a group of people that have committed a heist and they're hiding out. And we thought, well, that could happen. That could be something that the franchise could do. That could be something that was covered by the bikers and bad guys and whatnot as part of the movies. But we wanted to do this for the entirety of the movie. So, you know, whether or not this is something that they consider, I don't know. But we thought it could fit into the work of the franchise at some point.
Now go ahead and plug in any websites or anything related to Voorhees, or especially the release date and everything about Voorhees that we can check out right now, or anything else related to that you'd like to add?
There's a Voorhees fan page on Facebook, Voorhees. Freddy's Friday the 13th fan film, you'll be taken to the group. The movie will be released on Halloween, this October 31st. I believe it's going to be about 10:15 Eastern time, so 7:15 Pacific Coast time. We do have two showings the weekend before, on October 24th in Winchester, Virginia. So we're excited to see it on the big screen. If you want to subscribe to the Wet Paint Pictures YouTube site, Google on YouTube Wet Paint Pictures Voorhees, subscribe to the channel, and you'll be ready to see it when it's dropped on Halloween. So we're very excited. People will be able to get their candy corn and their Kit Kats and gather around, and hopefully we'll scare the hell out of you.
And there you have it, everybody. That is writer-producer Chris Walshin.